It's Bleck and Abdallah After Hours here on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. We're now ready to talk some Bulls basketball with Tony Gill from NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls are in the play-in game. Whether or not they advance, or if we have to have a conversation about what to do next, Tony, they won one play-in game, so there's that for Bulls fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, 83, 84 games of basketball to be played. Look, yeah, that's, I'm not complaining about it. I enjoy the sport. But, you know, we got to understand what this is, though. We can enjoy it, but we got to understand what it is, which is fake.
We talked about it a little bit last night, how the atmosphere at the United Center was great. And like, that should be a signal to the front office that like, this is what it looks like when fans are into the game. And this is what it looks like when fans are appreciative of Bulls basketball. And fans here are very appreciative of the game and of Bulls basketball. The problem I have is they're going to see this, should they win against the Heat, they're going to see this as, well, we made the playoffs. Imagine what we could do with Zach LaVine and maybe Lonzo Ball, and they're just going to run everybody back next year.
Unfortunately, that seems like where it's headed. And the fear that you have is, I think, the fear of a lot of Bulls fandom across the world is, yeah, don't take our enjoyment of what happened with Kobe scoring 42 points as something else, because this is not that. Like, we are, once that offseason hits, there's still going to be questions that you need to answer about how this is being built. But like you said, Adam, like, that's what happens when you have something, right? Even a glimpse of something that Bulls fandom can take a hold to. And you saw that, a packed out house, a rocking stadium. NBC Sports Chicago was there. They did the pregame and postgame. They're going to do the same thing again. But they were like, that house was rocking. Like, yeah. People love basketball in the city, and they love the Bulls in the city. And too often times that is taken advantage of, like in situations like this, where this shouldn't be the goal. The play-in should absolutely not be the goal for any franchise. You want a legit playoff spot. You want a legit chance to win a championship. And this is what happens. And we all saw what happens when you actually give the Bulls fandom a glimpse or a taste of something.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to kind of look at this, right? Like, you can be positive and say, hey, how cool is it to show that we can show out for a playing game? Or the other side of it is, that's embarrassing. Like, this franchise should want so much more than twirling rally towels for a playing game. Like, this is a championship level franchise for many years that we grew up watching. This is exactly what we should strive for, is a team that's in the playoffs, atmospheres like that. And for that ownership group and the way that the front office has kind of run things in the last 10 years, for us to be that thirsty for a playing game, I think is a larger critique. And it's embarrassing that that's where Bulls basketball is today. Like, and that's why I think it's a great conversation to look at, like, the larger picture. Tony, going forward, say they beat the Heat tonight in the playing game and they're in the first round against the Boston Celtics. This Boston Celtics team is a pretty good number one seed. I know to get the number one seed, you have to be good to begin with. But like, this team has blown out a ton of opponents this year. The point differential is one of the best we've seen in league history. So even if you beat the Heat, you're up against it against the Celtics in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest offenses statistically that we've ever seen. and that's something that's kind of gets underplayed just because, you know, the three-point shot and all that. But as of right now, the Boston Celtics probably have a top 10 offense ever. So there you go. If you manage to beat the Heat, good luck with that. But to your larger point, I said this on the Bulls Talk podcast, Adam Silver has saved more jobs than ever with the play-in. because now GMs, coaches, ownerships, they can hang their hat on, hey, we got extra basketball. Our season didn't end just at 82. We got to 83 and 84 games. And that's something absolutely that franchises shouldn't be trying to hang their hats on to save their jobs. But it is. It's the truth. If we are in a I got to stop saying normal situation because the play-in is normal now. But in years prior, where we were growing up, where it was 1 through 8 and that was it, the Bulls, we're having a completely different conversation. And the NBA at large is having a different conversation about how the Bulls are being operated, because what you make all these trades and you make the playoffs one time. You are near the top of the league in salary cap and you make the playoffs one time. We're having a completely different conversation if it wasn't for the Bulls playing. And as much as we can do both, you can enjoy what you're watching on the basketball court. You can enjoy Kobe and seeing the culmination of what hard work that he's put in that 42 points that he put up in the first playing game. But also, you can also hold your team to a standard and say, hey, this isn't good enough. I enjoy watching it on my TV, but this isn't good enough in the long term. So it's always a bit of a push and pull for Bulls fans to kind of deal with those feelings because of Adam Silver's play-in.
So let's fast forward to next year, right? You talked about it. I think one thing the coaching staff can hang their hat on is the development of Coby White and how good he's been this year. And it was on display in a, you know, must-win play-in game, and now hopefully again tonight in another must-win play-in game against the Heat. What happens in October when they start the next season and Zach LaVine comes back and Coby White's not getting the ball as much? Like, he's developed so much this year, but the guy that's going to take most of those shots away from him is coming back next year, as of right now, at least.
You know, there lies the issue, and probably the foundational issue with this Bulls team is how it's constructed. And that's on AK and Mark Eversley. So you couldn't trade Zach LaVine, and now you definitely can't trade him until people see that he's healthy and ready to go. So we're talking about February, where you're still having this loom over your franchise of you wanting to get rid of Zach LaVine and Zach LaVine not wanting to be here. But to Zach's credit, he will be a professional. He will show up. He will do his job. So that won't be an issue. There won't be any James Harden-like things from Zach LaVine. He will show up. But the issue is you're still trying to progress. We saw the growth of Coby White, like you mentioned, and not only Coby, Ayo. We've seen growth of both of those two guys that, at least for the next 2 years while they're on the contract, you probably have one of the most valued backcourts in the NBA per their contracts. So, and you really want to see that progress and grow. And if you're going to along this path of not truly taking a rebuild, you want to promote those guys to the rest of the league, to another superstar that may be somewhere else that's not really content where he is. You can be like, hey, I like Coby White and Ayo Dosunmu. I like what they're doing. They play defense. They pass the ball. I can get with that. But that gets in the way when you have Zach LaVine that you're trying to prop up. Like, he's healthy, guys. You sure you don't want him? And I think one thing that they're going to have to come to grips with is they may, or most likely, probably have to take a hit on getting Zach LaVine out of a Bulls uniform, just because of the growth factor of the rest of the team that you need, that needs to take priority versus trying to find a grand deal that you thought you can get in seasons prior.
Yeah, it's a weird push and pull when it comes to the roster itself, having vets who are still producing, but then having young guys who still need the opportunity. And then you have a crossroads where DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams are coming up for new contracts and in this current summer. So, like, as you roll it forward into the summer, I would imagine, because he said he wanted to be here, DeMar DeRozan will likely return. But then what does that look like for the next 5 years of Bulls basketball? Because you can't just run back what we've seen the last two seasons. So, like, with Patrick Williams, who needs a contract, he was hurt this year, so he didn't really prove much. And then DeMar DeRozan has proven it, but he's towards the end of his run. Like, how do the Bulls navigate these two different decisions?
I think they don't. I think they have backed themselves into a corner, and now they're stuck, where if you were going to move on from DeMar DeRozan, you should have traded him and got something for him. Your lack or unwillingness to move him and made that strong push to move Zach LaVine, it backfired. And now you're going to have to not only pay DeMar DeRozan, but you're going to have to give him a raise. That's because he's outplayed his current contract. So not only do you have to pay him, he's headed into age 35 going into next season. You don't really have a plan past 5 years. And every job interview that I've ever been on, or every conversation, like, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? The Bulls can't say that because they don't know. They don't know. They still, the Lonzo Ball situation is still up in the air. You know, Patrick Williams, they're probably going to get him back just because nobody is going to offer him something legitimate. So they're going to get him back on a pretty good deal. But again, this is your number four pick that you're worried about getting on a sweet deal. Like, by this time, he's supposed to be wanting to get that max contract, and you're supposed to be willingly giving up that max contract for your number four pick. But the future of the Bulls isn't bright, and I don't know what their plan is. Like, he's going to have to do a lot of movement and a lot of maneuvering in the likes of when he first got here, where we thought he was going to be draft and development guy, but then switched the roster completely in a year. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what their plan is. I am so looking forward to the end of season press conference where they have to speak to these things and what their plan is for the offseason.
It seems like we're in the exact same place when John Paxson and Gar Forman were here. Like, we're having the exact same conversations that we did a few years ago. And we saw that, you know, when the All-Star game was here in Chicago, that kind of led the charge in Michael Reinsdorf making a change and going to his dad and saying, I want to make a change. And they did. Do you think there's still that appetite to win? And could they make a change if they lose to the Heat tonight?
I don't think so. I think they are on the, you got yourself into this, you can get yourself out type of frame of mind. As we all know, they are not too adept to firing management. That is just not their style. They'll fire a coach at Christmas, you know, but they will stick with management for as long as possible. And unfortunately, they can point to that play-in game as, hey, we're building something here. It sucks to think about that for the long-term health of the team, but that's what they can do. That's what it provides, that play-in tournament game, especially a home play-in tournament game. I think they want to win. I think he wants to win, but also I think they like to make money. And balancing those two out, look, if we win, it's almost a bonus because it leads to more money. But as long as the quota is being made, it feels like that's the angle. And it's tough to say and it's tough to realize, especially for a team that you want to see go back to greatness and the standard that it has. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding that these last, 10 years or so, it just hasn't worked out, no matter who's been in place. So you have to look at, okay, who is here? Who is setting that standard and its ownership?
Yeah, and it's like a flat circle, right? Things, the more that we bring up new issues, they're more just like the same. And it goes back to the Bulls franchise being happy with perhaps only having two home playoff dates to make the money. And Tony, like you said, if they won more, there would be more of that. And then we go back to the playing game the other night and it's a sold out arena. People are excited before the game. And it's like, there's so much potential there. I do want to ask you about this before we let you go. Coby White has been fantastic this season. What to you has been your favorite part of his game and the development side of it in the last year? Because I love watching players who maybe we have collectively as a basketball watching community come to, like, this is what this guy is. And then he shows up and he gives you something more. And I'm just thrilled at how good he's turned himself into. What's your favorite part of Coby White's game?
Well, three things. One, the shooting. His work with Peter Patton has shined this year. And it's not just catch and shoot anymore. It's off the dribble shooting. We saw that with the increased points per game, the increase in 3-point percentage. His shooting has absolutely helped his game out entirely because now he's putting defenders at bay and they have to guard him at the 3-point line, which opens up my second favorite part of his game, his dribble. Like, his handle has significantly increased since joining the NBA. And that was a big thing going into the league was, look, this kid scores. His shot is very inconsistent. His handle isn't that great, and he's got short arms. Like, he is able to overcome all of those things just by the sheer work that he's put in. So the three-point shooting, his ball handling ability. I mean, in that first game, he pulled off some moves. I was shimmying in my seat at home saying, ooh, Kobe, I like it.
Yeah.
The spin move was crazy. I was like, ooh, Kobe, let's go. But in the final thing that I hope Bulls fans have watched and appreciated from Kobe this year, his leadership. And I don't know if it was due to the injuries or lack of bodies being available where somebody had to be the vocal, you know, leader, but Kobe has grown into that role for this team and they trust him. And you see the trust from DeMar DeRozan where towards the end of the season, the middle of the season, he's passing off late game shots to Kobe White. And you want to see that growth. Again, what we mentioned before, DeMar isn't going to be here or at least have the same effect on the court longer than Kobe, you know, is. He's heading into the prime of his career. So seeing Kobe get those opportunities and show up too, big time in games, were the three aspects that I've enjoyed watching Kobe this year. And I hope he continues to grow, take that next step. I didn't think Kobe could be an all-star. Now he's opened that door that he could be a potential all-star going forward. And you got to think like, wow, like that, from where they drafted him, from what we thought about him before under the Fred Hoiberg era, the Jim Boylan era, it's amazing to see how far he's come.
Yeah, I would say it really feels watching as if when he discovered the confidence in his ball handling skills and his handles, that it just unlocked the rest of his game. Like it felt like in the past, because he was a little sloppy with it, he just would either turn the ball over, not have a confident move, but now he's stepping back, he's stepping through, he's able to penetrate. He kind of has a bag of tricks now as a ball handler that he didn't have last year.
Yeah. You can see, like, you can tell a good ball handler when they're reacting to what the defense does without having to worry about where the ball is. And that's a growth factor for Kobe is he's making moves depending on where the defense is, where their feet are. And he's just reacting. He's not thinking. He's just going. And that means he's been in the lab working and pounding the ball as much as he can. And like you said, I've enjoyed watching that.
All right. Last thing before we let you go, if you were able to pick out one player or aspect of what this team needs in the summer to add to this group, what are you shopping for? What's the type of player you're looking for this summer?
Oh, shooting. Like they need more shooters. Look, they've gotten where they've gotten through grit and, you know, bouncing back from bad losses and consecutive bad losses. That's cool. But you can't continue to be bottom in the league in 3-point attempts. Like that just is not sustainable. And we have proof because they got worse this year. They lost more games than they did last year.
Yeah.
That cannot be a continued trend. Like the pickups of Javon Carter did not work. Torrey Craig, for the output, it didn't work. They didn't get the shooting, and they didn't get really a consistent enough play from either of those pickups. So they have to be on the market for specific three-point shooting. Billy Donovan can coach up a defense. We've seen that. That's what he's good at. I would say that's one of his better qualities as an NBA basketball coach is he can coach up a defense no matter who is out there. They need three-point shooting wherever they can get it. And not just like guys that, oh, yeah, he can shoot threes. No, he needs to be also be able to play basketball. Like he just can't be, well, man, like we really would like to play him, but he's just a net negative on defense always. So you want to get a guy that can make threes consistent on enough basis and hopefully be, you know, a consistent contributor. But shooting is the number one thing I'm going after.
As we enter the playoffs this weekend, what's the next project you're working on at NBC Sports Chicago?
Ooh, I got to keep that one close to the vest a little bit. I am working on a project, documentary. I'll give you that. Documentary. Okay. Chicago sports documentary. It's in the works now. It's in kind of like the pre-production phases. So be on the lookout for that. But we got to get through the Olympics first. There's a lot of stuff to do with the Olympics over here at NBC. So that's kind of what we're focusing on. Because we're not really focusing on White Sox baseball. But, you
know. Neither are we.
Yeah.
At ESPN. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.